hey, there's a mother that calls me over. Her son is being scratched during the night, doesn't know what it is, wakes up with these scratches all over his belly, all over his back. They can't figure out, so they want me to come over to pray in the room. Sure enough, there was a reason, a doorway for spiritual presence. Some would call this sleep paralysis. There's another lady that calls me, and her and her family are being harassed. There's some kind of visitation coming right into their beds, right on their beds, right through their hallways. We heard the story and went to the home, and there was clearly the sense of another presence. Now another man calls, and he's getting sick. You know, sleeping in the one room, he gets sick. Sleeping in the other room, he doesn't. Sleeping in the one room, he gets weird dreams and weird experiences. But sleeping in the other room, nothing happens. What's happening with this? Now, there's a girl that's coming to my office, and her mother's there with her, and she tells about not only the sleep paralysis, not only feeling like something sat on her bed, but also... the issue of pressing down on her chest. The issue of hearing a whisper, a voice that says, don't scream, don't say anything. And then she begins to feel like some kind of sexual harassment begins to occur. Another man, a professor, well, I see him at the restaurant, and he begins to tell me about a spiritual encounter that involved deep sexuality. Incubus, succubus. Listen, what is sleep paralysis? Even this last week, I got a number of emails concerning it. We had a discussion last night with somebody in my home that was telling me about their involvement or their experience of what some have called sleep paralysis. Now, in a psychological sense, there are all kinds of explanations. Maybe it is that you ate too much pizza. Maybe it is that you're living near train tracks and a train going through brings a little shimmy to the house, and things begin to just barely rock a little bit. So you can eliminate some of the physical things, but when it becomes the bizarre, when it becomes something really there, even seeing the shadow or a presence walking through the room. Well, that's what we're going to deal with tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We got some courses, one on the Holy Spirit and one on apologetics. They're absolutely free. Combined, they're about 28 hours, I think. And you can look on the left-hand side, scroll down. You'll see Supernatural Apologetics. Click on it. Or God the Holy Spirit. Click on that. And so there's some teaching, absolutely free, conference material and local course material. That's what's been put up. And we've got the series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Again, another 14 hours of training, absolutely free. So listen, wherever you're at live right now listening all over Northeast, well, North America and South America and the islands and wherever else, hey, send us a note once in a while to tell us where you're listening from. Also, for those who are archiving and downloading the messages later on, again, many countries of the world, welcome. For all of us, it's a providential time. I experience the providence of God in the midst, the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst, the passion of the living Christ, and His love for you. So we ask Him to stretch out His hand to save, to heal, to deliver, to crush dark presence and dark power, and to bring help, even extraordinary miracle, again in the name the Lord Jesus, Jesu Christu. And we're talking this week in a series, as we do every week now, 6 to 7 p.m. This week it is the visitation, communication, and contact with the spirits. What do they want? Now, if you've read the website at all, if you've gone there, take your time, a lot of stuff there, but a lot of stuff to give you. And if you look right at the very beginning, there's a flash drive pictures, mostly relating to the subject titles. Scroll down a little bit, you'll see an introduction to the series. Monday night, we did Knock Knock, Who's There, Mediums, Ouija Boards, Channelers, and Other Doors. And that's in the archives now. Tonight, sleep paralysis, why thousands are experiencing a visitation, how to get rid of it, nine factors tonight, and then doorways that include incubus and succubus. And more and more people are reporting that experience. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, I see dead people. We're going to talk about Aunt Betty, dead Aunt Betty, or is it a spirit? Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, that's the second show on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We're going to talk about ghosts and other entities and haunted areas, buildings, and so forth. I'll be on the properties of what people have claimed, haunted house or haunted building, this weekend. I'll tell you about that next week. Thursday night, the Vampire Rage, Seduction, Bloodlust, and then Thursday night, later on that evening, we'll be on with Tom Horn from Raiders News Network.net, and you can get the link directly from our site there. Friday night, All Hallows Eve, all about the ritual heads up, and we're going to be out there engaging helpers of victims of satanic ritual abuse, engaging perpetrators. And, wow, we've got folks all around us that need the help. We want to do all that we can. And if you have been emailing in with longer – listen, this is what's difficult. Longer questions or wanting deep counsel, it's very hard for me to give deep counsel in an email. We had somebody drive in from Kentucky this last weekend, mainly just for prayer and some counsel and friendship. And we had other, sessions of deliverance, inner healing, things like this during the week. That's going to happen all this week. It simply does. But we're loving being here with you, seeing how God is working, and we're trying to get to many of you when it comes to the emails that keep piling up. During the weekend, Saturday, preemption broadcast, you can get it on your iTunes there too. Pretty soon off this website, we're going to have it to where you can subscribe. And if you don't listen live, you can get all of it sent to you direct. So if you miss a live session, go to archives. You can check that out. You can look at the upcoming broadcast message series. Also scroll down a little bit. You'll see all the other newest things that we're doing. And listen, we don't have product commercials, we don't have product sales, but we do ask that if you're interested, go to shatterthedarkness.net, and right next to the archives tab is support. How do we do it all? How do we do it all during the week? Well, the radio program got us blessed with some great people that are probably listening right now. Thank you. The Lord's blessing upon you for allowing the opportunity that everything's taken care of all the way to January. But the overall work, and just simply, if you're interested in how you can help the overall work and all that we do, click on that support tab. It'll explain a lot to you, and I want to say thank you. There's about 25 every month that help out, and it is what keeps us out here 40, 50 hours a week doing all that is being done. Welcome again to anybody brand new. Again, my name, Russ Dizdar. You can find a bio of my life or whatever. It's stuff that people have asked to have put up, so we put it up. And there it is on the shatterthedarkness.net website. The book Black Awakening still sells just about every day, and 664 pages. It includes that you can have four courses. And that's about 100 hours of MP3, same things we teach at a college or a local Bible school. But we found out that two of the links, one to spiritual warfare and one, I believe, that is in one of the other courses, have been broken. And so we've been doing all we can. We've repaired everything else but about two courses. And we'll try to get that done this week. So if you've been waiting, check back again by Thursday. And hopefully all the links will be mended and you can get all your materials. If you do get the book and get the code to go to the website, theblackawakening.com, you can get, the course with MP3s, 24 hours, the Black Awakening on MP3s. Then you can get Freedom Encounters. That's a basic training, about 26 hours on how to do prayer for healing and deliverance and helping those SRA MPD. And the book of Daniel, the entire book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So it's all there when you get the book, The Black Awakening, and we encourage you. It is very unique, so if you click on the information to the left, it'll take you to the website, www.theblackawakening.com. Now, you're going to find there's a one-hour free introduction. There's a video introduction that Chris White has done for us. There's a lot of material information. And we will be adding extra PDF files that are like extra chapters to the book. So it's kind of like a live, ongoing book. The book being 664 pages, well, we could have made it, 1,500 pages, but we just couldn't take any more time. So we encourage you, take a look. It's a very unique book, none like it yet, and we will be adding to it even more. Welcome again tonight. This is Tuesday, the 19th of October, 2010. Our subject matter, sleep paralysis, why thousands are experiencing. Have you ever had that happen to you? At nighttime, you feel something came into the room? Listen, when I was young, about 8 years old, we had an upstairs where I played, but there was another room off of that upstairs room that was unfinished. There was no heat ducts. It was just all rafters. But there was a door that went there, and we called that room the cold room, the cold room. And as a kid, I always feared that room. And being upstairs one day, I was playing, and I literally felt like something was there right behind the door. And I'm telling you the truth, I felt like the door handle moved. Now, I was gripped as a kid with fear. I screamed bloody murder. I turned around to run down the stairs, but I also felt paralyzed, absolutely paralyzed. And as I was trying to run down the stairs, my dad had heard me scream, come around, and literally caught me as I was running and trying to jump stairs going down to get away from whatever that was. Don't know what it was back then. The weird thing about it was during that time as a kid, I also had a dream reoccurring. I don't know if you've ever had a dream like this where it's really scary. I was in the living room of my home looking down the hallway where the kitchen is. It goes around the corner to outside. And all of a sudden, I find myself on the couch, 7, 8 years old, sitting there, and the head of a wolf starts to come around the corner, then another. Of course, their fangs, and they're slow motion turning the corner and beginning to come towards me. Now, I can remember being frozen, unable to move, seeming like I could not even scream. Yet a number of times, my mother woke me up in the midst of it, saying she heard me screaming. Now, I don't know what that was about. Back in those days, I know that it ended. Maybe it's because my parents, they allowed us on Friday nights to watch the scary, Frankenstein and Dracula and the Headless Man and Thing and the, all these movies as kids we were watching. We weren't raised in church. We didn't know, anything. We are just some pagan, hunky kids being raised up. On Sundays, I went with my dad and my grandfather to the Croatian Club where they got drunk. And I helped him drive on the way home. That's all I knew. So I had no defense. And I had some really weird, scary stuff. But it all ended. And don't know where it came from, don't know where it went, but it was pretty eerie. And I don't know if you have those or if you have kids that have those. I know little ones can have night terrors also. Well, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about since the 60s, and especially in the last 20 years. I mean, it has caught the attention of psychiatrists, psychologists. People have gone to doctors, and they've had to get pills. They've had to get medication. They had to have other people sleep in the room with them. They had to change. Some people change homes because they can't figure out. Nowadays, people call psychics in and readers of the dead and many other things to, you know, individuals to come by. So there's all kinds of activity on this issue. The central thing to remember, though, is this. Thousands and thousands of people are reporting this as an experience. It could be in the middle of the night, all of a sudden they wake up, but they can't move. Their eyes are open, but they can't open their mouth. They begin, they're breathing, but they want to move their arms, but they feel pressed down on the bed. Others just open their eyes and see a shadow figure standing at the end of the bed. Sometimes others are awake and they're in the room doing something, even on a computer, and they feel something brush by them. It can get worse where, as I said, a young boy, he woke up in the morning with scratches on his stomach, scratches on his back, again and again, and they didn't know what it was. Another man getting sick constantly, only when he slept in the one room. And stories go on, all the way to this. And again, I've had people come in over the years, more and more and more it occurs that something came on top of them, something began to touch them, something even whispered, don't move, shut up, we will harm you. And even others who have had sexual molestation by a non-human entity. Some in the old days called that incubus and succubus. We've done deliverance where that occurred again and again and again and again with a person to where the actual spirit doing it has attached to the person and literally was on them when we dealt with the issue. Now, we're going to talk about nine factors tonight concerning it. The doorways, we're going to talk about doorways. Why at night and why during that sense of sleep or partial sleep. And we're going to give some help concerning the issue too. Now I want to say simply doorways. When I say doorways, I mean doorways to the other side. Gateways, portholes, you can call it whatever you want. But it's the idea, like in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, you're going to read where it says, be angry but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold. Topon is the word. It has the idea in legal literature as a legal right. It also has the idea of a mountain climber climbing up the side of a mountain, but he finds a place to put his foot, kind of a hole in the side of rock to where they can get their foot in and get a standing. And as long as they can get their foot in, it's like the salesman coming to your house. You open the door a little bit and he would force his foot into the door so you can't close it on him. That's the idea of a foothold. So the idea there is it's talking to believers. And I believe, again, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, it can happen. We've dealt with this in both. But if you're a believer, this can happen. If you give way, topon, legal right, doorway, well, the enemy's going to take that area, he's going to take that advantage, and he's going to exploit it. So if you give the doorway, if you open the door, if you give the legal right, well, and it always involves some sin area. The Bible says you can be angry but not sin. But you also need to deal with that anger so it doesn't turn into bitterness and harbor bitter thoughts and eventually become rage. You don't want to be a bitter person. Bitter people open the door and they get more and more negative and more, you know, they get mean. And pretty soon it could be rage and they can lose control. And that's where the enemy can begin to, influence or add fuel to that area by a level of, attachment and influence. Because somebody's given a doorway. We're going to talk about the doorways when it comes to sleep paralysis. But I want to answer first this question. Why at night? Why at night? Give me 30 seconds here. I'll answer that. Let me give you the alert again this month. If you're brand new listening from last week to this, we have October 2010, starting on the 13th all the way to the 30th. They're on the satanic calendar, there is the goal of abducting children or victims, holding them in having ceremonial or ritual preparation for the upcoming human sacrifice and sex rituals and blood rituals. So my encouragement is simply going to do a search on the satanic calendar. October is always a big month. Those practitioners, well, they look forward to it. They look forward to this time of the year. They look forward to the growing close to Samhain and All Hallows Eve. But it doesn't stop there. It goes all the way to November 4th in the Ritual of Satanic Revels. So all during this time, all the way to November 4th, specifically the 30th and 31st of October, deep-seated rituals by the hundreds of thousands all over Europe, in Russia, all over, it's off the scales as far as numbers now, and in the United States. So our book goes over that. Some of the last materials goes over that, even the statistical level. So there we go. Take a look and be alert. Be a great prayer warrior. Be ready to minister. That's what we're doing. And guess what? Right in the midst of praying for, finding victims, and engaging more, it would seem like out of nowhere, but out of God's providence, laid at our doorstep was another victim. Brand new. We had no idea. And through a series of events, actually showed up at the home. So we're dealing with that. And we're looking again for the grace and the love of God to help. Let's go over the 9 factors concerning sleep paralysis tonight. Let me say again, if you'd like to sometime send us a note, even if you're listening to archives later on. I got a note from, a couple of folks, in Europe, one from the Czech Republic, and then also from South Africa, and then also from Mexico and many other places. So it's always great just to simply hear, you could even just send a note in, put in the header, hey, I'm from, Costa Rica, and I'm just saying hello. We love to hear from where you, because we see that not only the live, I have no idea, the thousands that listen, but I do know on the downloads directly, by the end of the month, there's about 120,000 downloads. And then off our other side, another 30,000 to 40,000 downloads. So we're glad for that, and we're glad that it's being beneficial, saying thanks to those who send the notes of appreciation. But we just would like to hear from you once in a while. Number one. Now, I wanted to answer the question first. Why at night? Let me tell you something. A lot of activity during the night. I mean, even Jesus tells the parable of the sower, but then the evil one comes at night. There's an association with things that go on during the night. I mean, that's really when real rituals are being done and summoning of demons is being done. A lot of stuff's being done during the night. A lot of crime being done during the night. And so there seems to be a real spiritual activity during the night. And obviously for us, we've been all over 60, I think, cities right now. We'll be into 61, 62, 63 cities this next weekend doing our REAP trips. And we will, we'll be there. And during the night, though, it's when we have a lot of the activity that we engage with victims and with ritual stuff and covens and whatever. Now, during the night, please understand, when rituals are done, people have said across the board, pastors have experienced this more and more, that all of a sudden you wake up at 3 o'clock or 3:30 or 3:33. And you wonder, what in the world that's all about? I learned long ago to ask the Lord, why am I getting up? Why right now? What seems to gone on? I mean, I've got stories and stories and stories of individuals coming in. Something seemed to come on the roof. Something walked in the room. This is where sleep paralysis issues occur. But there's a lot of activity. And even the rituals that we're talking about, all these rituals just in October alone, just the ones listed. I mean, there's so many of them off the books in the old skin bound, ritual books in the old languages. So it's all occurring during the night, and a lot of spiritual activity in the rituals themselves and all that's going on this month. It's all in the late and the dark of night. The second part of this, when it comes to sleep, why does it happen when we're like going to sleep? Let me tell you a few things. Very important for believers in Christ to understand that that it involves a spiritual warfare aspect. When you're tired, when you're not as attentive, when you're not as alert, and when you're getting ready to go to sleep. And you know how it is when you begin to fade out. You're kind of almost asleep, but still somewhat awake. And you literally are. Your mind is slower. Your senses are less perceptive. And the truth is, you're more vulnerable. You're more vulnerable. Isn't it kind of strange? Jesus asks the disciples to come away with him and pray during the night, pray with him for 1 hour, and all the guys kept falling asleep. Isn't it something that when you want to get that Bible or that book that's a Christian book and you want to read and you want to grow and you want, and you're doing it at night and all of a sudden you fall asleep, you feel a heavy sense, and it's like, I don't want to say, I don't believe the Sandman, but I do believe that there is in spiritual warfare a sense where there can be that influence. We need to be aware if there's an uncanny falling asleep, specifically when we want to read the Word of God, when we want to study, when we want to have prayer time. You need to rebuke that in Jesus' name and ask the Lord to give you a heads up and show you what's going on. So the issue of night and of sleep, one, because higher activity on a spiritual plane and vulnerability in the tiredness perception and the human body needing to kind of rejuvenate during that sleep time. And so there's interactions that occur. In our experience, I even believe the spirits wait. They literally wait for that vulnerable, sleepy, less perceptive time. And so that's part of the issue of why at night and why at the edge or in the beginnings of sleep. Here are 9 factors of why a spiritual entity, again, we're going to say demonic, they are extra-dimensional, they are non-human, they are, and they can, make themselves like an angel of light, Uncle Betty, they could do all kinds of stuff. I'm Uncle Betty, the dead Uncle Betty. I'm dead Uncle John. I am your great grandfather. I am an ascended master. They can play whatever game they want to play. They can put on whatever suit, whatever dress, whatever mask they want. They have supernatural capacity to do that. That's the physics of the dark side based on their nature. Now, when the Spirit of God works and when the living Jesus is operative in your life, the Lord's operative, he doesn't play that game. There's no mask with God. God is all about unmasking and showing clearly his face, his love, his truth, his will, his work. So God's all about shining, his light. And the other side is all about counterfeiting it and masquerading it. So in that process, in this issue of sleep paralysis, to me, it's a matter of spiritual warfare. Number one, something may be there because you opened the door. Because you opened the door to it. Maybe you got into Dungeons and Dragons. Maybe you did some kind of spell. Maybe you played with the Ouija board. Maybe you opened the door to something in your bedroom, in your home. Maybe now that's where you have to really take a look. If you're a believer, say, Lord, is there something I have done to open a door here? Is there something I have done, been tempted to do, and actually opened a doorway for the enemy to begin to bring harassment, visitation, and interaction? And so number one, it could be that you opened that door. Number two, it could be that somebody in the family, you might be spiritually in tune, armor of God on, the authority of the Lord, but you live in a household where there's 4 or 5 other people living there. Back years ago when my wife and I were first married, we had kids off the street that came to live with us in our home. We loved them. We had black, we had white, we had unwed mothers with the little babies. We had the homeless. We had people, for about 9.5 years all together, we brought them in. We gave them a room. We had 4 bedrooms, but we only had 1. And so, at one time we had all the bedrooms filled up. Each had their own. And, you know, we had rules in the house, and we were there to minister. We were there to love. We were there to clothe. We were there to feed. That's just, you know, us. That's what we did, and we loved it. And there was really no danger. There was more than that, though, the issue that some individuals that we, you know, were ministering to, they had doorways in their life. You know, if you're a mom or a dad and you're spiritually okay, maybe a son or daughter isn't. Maybe a son or daughter has got into stuff, and maybe they've got a spirit on them. Maybe they have opened a door. Maybe they have come in, and in their bedroom, we've been called to homes where, for the first time in a year, the mom or dad entered into the teenager's bedroom. And all of a sudden, there is a Wiccan altar. In one case of a girl that was... Well, she was demonized when the parents brought her. When we began to pray, she fell to the ground. The demons growled. Of course, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we got the demons out. But we wanted to find out the doorways. Went to her basement bedroom in her home. And I'm telling you the truth before God. We came out of that bedroom down there, that big, large basement bedroom. 3 garbage bags full of the things that open doors, occult literature, occult, symbols, ritual materials, stuff for spell working, on and on and on. That place was literally just made into a doorway, and it's no wonder upstairs the other sister and the dad experienced spirits or sleep paralysis. Engagement with supernatural entities. Well, because the doorways in that basement were so opened up by the daughter that went to the, that literally met an older witch that involved her in small bonding rituals and other things and began to teach her everything. Well, not only did attachment occur, but they came into her life when she called them to. And when she opened up all the doors and ritual circles in her basement room, well, she had presence in that room. So you might be okay in the family, but maybe somebody else has opened a door and brought it in. And if you're really serious about dealing with it, you might have to, you know, take a check, a family check of what's going on. Now, number 3, it's very important. You might be okay, your family's okay, but like us, we have a lot of people that come to this house. After Sunday, when I spoke at a ministry meeting, of a lot of those young people came to the house afterwards. And some stayed till 3:30 in the morning. Now, we have always had open Bible studies and prayer meetings and meetings for training and shatters our ministry and all kinds of stuff. So it's very possible, and it's not your fault, like a church. Everything might be very good. Pastor is good. Leaders are good. Church is on fire. But somebody brings, well, somebody that's into the dark side that has a demon on them, has an object, maybe an amulet around their necks that's charged. They carry in to the sanctuary. Or if they walk into your house, they carry whatever's on them, along with all the dirt. I mean, some people come in. I've had people come in, ladies come in. They have so much perfume on. Wow, it's like a wave. They come in and walk past, and it's like, smells nice and everything, but wow, what a wave of perfume. There's some guys that have walked in. They needed a little bit of something. There's a different kind of wave. Now, that's talking about body. That's talking about just physical smell. Now, I'm going to tell you that individuals can come into your house that are carriers because they've opened doors. And when they've come in, or if you've allowed them to stay, or if they came into your house and practiced things or whatever else, or, you know, maybe they left their clothes, you know, a coat that has one of their amulets in it or something. That can be the source of a doorway where attachment was there on them, but then came and began to bring influence into the home, to where people begin to experience, well, let's call it sleep engagement, nighttime engagement with non-human entities. Let's go to number 4, objects. missionaries in the past, at least, maybe nowadays too. They've been notorious for this, and soldiers from other lands and those who travel to other lands. Well, you know, you buy something in India, you buy something in South America, you buy something there in Haiti or in Africa. You buy an object that they're selling on the streets, or they come up to you and they want to sell you an elephant or, you know, some kind of object. And you buy it, but you didn't know that that object was carved and made specifically for a demon god or goddess. And that it literally went through a little purification ritual or a little ritual blessing that involved that deity, that demonic entity. And it's very possible that the object has demonic presence on it. In the Old Testament, it was called a devoted thing. Achan brought one of those things into the camp in his tent underneath. It wasn't just money. It wasn't just valuable. It had demonic attachment unto a demon god, which gave legal right and a actual doorway. Objects that are demonized. New Agers should understand that when they talk about getting their objects, a crystal, a certain necklace, certain things charged, they go to an area where there's, quote, energy. Well, behind the energy is the entity. The entities are emanating the energy. So in a ritual, in lesser, smaller rituals or even bigger, broader rituals, when an object is actually, quote, charged, and it actually has energy on it, please understand something. That energy is what is emanating from an actual entity, that presence. Some people will have what they think is a protective amulet or something that has power to it, something that shields them. And regardless of what they think, if it came from the dark side, the finite spirits, and through occult means, then this is demonic presence attached to an object. Here's a heads up. In satanic ritual abuse, the underground covens, one of the methods of infiltration, whether into a home, but particularly into a church, is when the individual coming in, though they're acting like they want help, acting like they want to be a part of the church, all of a sudden begin to give gifts to everybody. They're giving gifts to the pastor. They're giving a gift to the church. Maybe it's a painting. Maybe it's a little statue of something. Maybe it's a jewelry. Maybe, you know what? That is something that is done nationwide, European-wide. That is one of the methodology, the MO of demonizing an object with specific function and purpose, bringing it to a person like a pastor or to somebody they don't like. And they've already got the demon on the object with the assignment, make them sick, destroy their finance, harm them, whatever it may be. It's like bringing a radioactive object into, you know, somebody's presence. Right away, you may not feel anything, but sooner or later, there's something strange going on. People are getting sick. People are showing up with marks. People are beginning to feel something. People begin to get confused, headaches. And all of a sudden, they're realizing for the first time, you know, it is spiritual warfare. Where is it coming from? And number one, if it's not coming from you. Number two, if it's not somebody in the family. Number three, if it's not somebody else. What about objects? I recommend everybody nowadays to do a spiritual house cleansing. You know, your house or your church. And it's just simply Psalm 139 where we read the prayer, Lord, search me and see if there's any offensive way within me and lead me in the way, you know, everlasting. I'm simply saying that we use that in dealing with praying over people. Lord, search them. We're looking for any kind of attachment, oppression, lies of the enemy, things like that, or possess. And many times with demons, it's demonstrative. They manifest, and we deal with that. But I'm saying in an objects issue, that can emanate. I've had individual Satanists come into my office and place demonized objects with assignment, sticking them down into my couch, pictures, other things, even foods, all that have been drawn out of ritual, out of the summoning of demons, and or if objects have been dedicated to certain gods and goddesses, if they've been charged, well, then you can be sure, specifically if you're a believer in Christ, that dark, anti-God, anti-Christ presence, entity, will be opposed to you. If it's been done specifically in a ritual or spell type thing, then it's got an assignment. If you find that you're getting specifically sick in a certain area or certain things are occurring and you have no idea, it's uncanny, it's really weird. Well, then you know what? There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, is there anything in my house? Is there anything in our church? Is there anything in our building that is any kind of object that is demonized, that becomes a doorway, that gives a demon a right to be on it, and then from that object influence people in the home or the house? What do you do with objects like that? Well, first of all, here's what I do, and I just emailed somebody an answer on this issue. Because we've confiscated, we at one time had like 7 tables of confiscated materials, and we put them on display, and a lot of them we took pictures and just put the pictures out. But we felt led to, years and years ago, maybe take a slide picture and use them to educate. This is this symbol. This is the satanic justice sign. This is this is what the Baphomet is all about. This is what a black mass indicator is. This is one of the cauldron things they use. This is a Ganga. This is spirit stick. This is an athame. On and on and on and on. But we burned all that I had anyway. We ended up just burning all of it. But we also prayed first. We prayed and used our authority. There's no prohibition for this. You as a believer have been given the same authority that I have. Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on the snakes and scorpions, the demons, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. You need to memorize that verse and appropriate it and take it in and start acting on that. And using, in the most ramped up time in human history of demonic presence globally, in the air, on objects, in people, in temples, coming out of ritual sites, the doorways are massive. And as we continue to see this Babylonish system rise, it can only rise by manifested dark powers and presence. It can only be seen and evidenced because of the evidence of the dark side, the presence. Look at Revelation 18. This spiritual system that rises with the Antichrist, well, it's the home of every demon, and it gives the figurative language, foul birth, things like that, packed with demonic entities on everything. It could be on, they could do a ritual in a building and acquire demonic presence to be there for protection and blessing from the demons. Objects. You know, if they dedicate a street to a demon god, that's helping to open a door. If they're doing rituals in the back field, that's a place where a door is opened. But objects are a big issue. So look out for objects that are given by occultists. And if you get a check, check it out, check out your church, check out your house, pray, ask the Lord for insight. And if you got a question, better to be clear and clean and get rid of things. Pray against any demonic function, any demonic assignment, any demonic attack that's been coming, and then just burn the objects. You can go back to 2 Kings 22:23 and see how Josiah even ground down demonized objects, things used in rituals, so that nobody could dig them up and use them again, so that the objects could no longer be used and have demonic presence on them. Amulets, all of this stuff need to go. Charged objects in every way need to go. If you're a New Ager, if you're a psychic, if you're somebody that had these objects, and you know that they were the doorways, that's one thing about New Agers and psychics and others. They know that these things can have energies and attachments and doorways. They know all this. The only thing they don't know is that the spiritual entities that they're welcoming are masqueraded and they're demonic, And they're all about keeping people from God and giving an alternative. They have no problem seeking to use a person's life. Now, that's number four, objects. Number five, what about past doors? I'm talking about people that lived in the house before you. I'm talking about if you bought a new house, you got into an apartment, and you're brand new to the area, to the home, and you're moving your furniture in, and you've gone into the house, maybe you've painted a few rooms, you got some carpet, you know, laid out or whatever else. I would do a house cleansing first. If you bought land for a church building, go ahead and get all the members to go walk the land and pray all over it, anoint the land. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, nothing wrong with that at all. Going over, that's a wise thing to do. And you never know, even like outside contractors and workers, they could be wearing an amulet. They could be doing things. I know of one place where they're building a church sanctuary and purposely Satanists, you know, involve themselves in rituals and so forth. And, you know, and when it comes to Masonic order, when they want to place a brick with their emblem on it, you know what? Go pray against any demonic doorway attachment to those kind of objects and then bust the brick out. In the area of past doors, this is where a lot of so-called sleep paralysis, night visitation occurs. Because somebody else opened the door. Somebody did a ritual. Somebody did a spell. Somebody opened a doorway. In whatever way they did it, and the spirit still claims rights. That can be true like a family line, like a grandfather that becomes a, you know, a demon worshiper, has a demon on him, but when he dies, where's the demon going to go? It believes that it has rights to the rest of the family, a familiar spirit. So renounce all of that. Renounce the family line that anyone ever opened the door. If the Lord gives you insight, simply renounce all of that. Rebuke the enemy with the authority of Christ so that the enemy is trampled. And it's the work and functions of the enemy are destroyed. And so if you're in a house and you can't, it's not number one, you, it's not somebody in the family, number two, it's not some person that came in, number three, it's not an object. It could be simply because somebody lived there before you. We've been in homes where the basement floor had been painted, or a large rug was all over the entire basement floor and left. Peeled back, there's a pentacle or a pentagram or specific occult ritual symbols, and a lot of rituals went on down there. We have one place that was an apartment. Numerous animal sacrifices went on down in the basement. Let me tell you something, that you need physical cleansing, you need spiritual cleansing. And go take authority and command anything that's ever been there out, take authority over all of it, take and cancel anything out and ask the Lord to deliver the land and to bless the land and so forth. Any objects like that as far as symbols, occult languages, things like that, make sure you get all of that off and not just paint it over. I mean, let's sand it down. Just get rid of all of it, literally all of it. And specifically praying over it and renouncing all doorways and asking the Lord to, well, 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Ask the Lord to destroy. That's the biblical word, 1 John 3:8. Destroy the enemy's work because it's always lethal spiritually. No problem with it. Getting advantage and bringing harm to children or anybody else, including physical and always spiritual. Number six, are there any occult practitioners near? Maybe you're in an apartment and downstairs, the apartment below you, they're practicing Kralinian magic, chaos magic. Maybe upstairs there's a Wiccan group doing particular conjuring and spells. So it could be that you're in an apartment or you're even in a home, but right next door, or if you're in a duplex connected to you, or if you're in an apartment below you, if there's occult practitioners. Now I'm going to tell you again, experiential stories where we've gone to homes and places where they felt that the spirits were coming right up out of the floor into their apartment. And that they were coming right from below them in the apartment below. where occult practices, summoning of demons, it was being done. And so gateways and doorways, well, doorways were being opened. And in some cases, we found out that practitioners, either in the next door house or in the apartment below or the apartment above or the apartment next, knew that the people troubled were Christians and they were purposely doing rituals against them. So it might be that wherever you're at, that's why you should make your home, your apartment, a house of prayer. You know, if they can do what they're doing, please understand what you can do as a believer. Two or three gather in my name, Jesus says, there am I in the midst. You guys got authority. Greater is the one that lives in you than the one that lives that's in the world. 1 John 4. So you take authority. You're having a, you know, if you're having worship in your apartment, worshiping the Lord, a Bible study, and you're pouring out the prayers, most Christians don't realize they should use not only the intercessory prayers for the lost and for the church and for everything else, but also the authority of Christ nowadays. We need to just, on a general sense, pray against all demonic manifestation all around us. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to pray against anything else. And if you know somebody's doing stuff like that, to pray against, that all the spirits will be bound. I mean, we've been into coffee shops where a darker-oriented psychic, they knew darker stuff too, but they're doing the psychic stuff to read people's mail. And in other words, people come in, they put money on the table, the candles are there, the black cloth is there, and the psychic, you know, gives them a reading or whatever else. And in this case, it was very real. So we're at the coffee shop. We decided that as we're drinking our coffee, we're just going to pray against every spirit, every demon, everything. We're just there drinking coffee and praying, inwardly praying, walking by, you know, throughout that coffee shop. And I'm telling you the truth, absolutely before God, just about an hour later, this person's frustrated, nobody's coming to the table. And as he walks by, he's talking out loud and says, blankety blank, I can't even get a spirit to show up. You see, if nobody does anything, they're going to have access. If you do not use your authority in every way possible, think in terms of using it in every way possible. In the series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, we teach you on the principle, not only that you should appropriate, know that you have the authority, and it's not just for somebody that's manifesting a demon. It could be the presence in your room, the presence on an object, the presence on someone else, the presence in a coffee shop. I have the authority. I have the right, and I don't have to let dark spirits operate, drawing and influencing people. I can pray instead against them, binding them, commanding them out, all the while getting up to begin to witness and share Jesus, his love, his salvation, his healing, and the incredible way he will guide in a person's life. Christian, quit sitting in shameful silence. Clothed with the Holy Spirit of God, given the Word of God, the living Christ in you, with you to the very end, you've got so much to unleash. You've got so much to give. Silent believers all over the land, guess what? You, by your silence and inactivity, you are aiding, you are abetting the enemy's encroachment. You're allowing it. By your silence, by your inactivity. The church of Laodicea, they couldn't do anything against the darkness. They could even help somebody get saved. What kind of believer are you? Do you feel and know the power of the Holy Spirit? You know the authority. Do you practice the prayer? You look for the opportunity. In the greatest mission on the face of the earth, all of heaven's involved, all the angels involved, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in the salvation of lives. If you want to be a part of the most supernaturally powerful, you know, agenda, then surrender, take up the cross, follow Christ, become a power-filled, supernaturally guided, love-motivated, soul-winning witness for Christ. You read the book of Acts, that's where all of God's signs, wonders, miracles, healings, and everything occurred. Well, let's go to number 7, occult satanic rituals done purposely. Not just because somebody's doing occult, you know, practitioners things in the apartment below, but maybe somebody is purposely, real Satanists, real individuals with the real ritual stuff, summoning demons, but then as they summon the demon, they target you. Now, that's what I've been harping on for the last month, trying to explain to a lot of people what we've found over 20-some years, is that ritual satanic warfare, where they raise the demons, they target pastors, they target churches, they target Christians at work, and they send the demons on assignment to attack. Where's a biblical example? Take a look, Revelation 16. That's a large example coming in the future that will bring satanic direct influence on a global scale. It's a ritual release with target and assignment. And so I pray this now because we've been involved in dealing with it so much. We understand covenants. I mean, they've come and put, you know, blood markings and symbols on the car, the doors, house, send things in the mail, let us know, phone calls with old ancient languages that I don't know what they are. I just rebuke it in Jesus' name. Pray for their salvation. That wherever they're at, that God will visit them and either save them, or if they're doing harmful things, stop them, whatever it takes. Again, in this day and hour, I'm saying, and I'm urging you to get a hold. It's absolutely free, please, friend. You want to be equipped? You want to be at the cutting edge? You want to be able to do more? Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. It's a series we've got on the Shadow of the Darkness website, absolutely free. And it'll help you. It'll give insight. It'll help you out. Well, number 8, there can also be astral projection. Now, we'll deal with this on another one for an entire hour later on. But astral projection and remote viewing, remote influence. The new rage, remote viewing. Well, it's more than remote viewing. It could be remote influence. Astral projection can involve, again, by the power of spirits or the influence of spirits, kind of a leaving of the body, going to an area and there's no question, anybody that deals with deep undergrounders know how it works. They do it. They know what they're doing. They're bringing attack. And that could be what's coming into your room, a sense where, for example, I have one guy we dealt with coming out of Satanism, coming out of abusive side of it. And there he's got candles in a ritual magic circle at his house. I'm like, what's this all about? He was trying to influence the psychologist, going to her home, going to her bedroom. Well, listen, I've got about 10 more minutes, but we've got the music coming on, and we're at the end of the hour. I'll finish up tomorrow. And listen, God bless you tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Good night.